Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of John. This is very early in that gospel as Jesus is gathering his disciples. And so here now these words of the Gospel of John. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. I don't often preach on Psalms, but the Psalm that we read today, Psalm 139, is probably my favorite of all the Psalms. I find in it a comfort and a sense of maybe belonging, a sense that I am, that it's okay for me to be, that I am part of the universe. And gives me the sense of God's love and concern. Sense that I am cherished, that I am made beautifully and wondrously by a God who cares deeply about me and about you and about everyone. All people that God has made, all who are in God's image. In many ways, it's kind of a love song to God. You know, the old Psalms and Hebrew worship more than likely would have been sung as well. So it really is kind of a love song, but not in the sense of a pop or a modern love song that uses the word baby a lot or just kind of talks about love at sort of a superficial level. This is a really poetic kind of love song. A love song to a God who knows me and who knows you and us intimately and thoroughly. And it doesn't just talk about God to us. There's a number of the Psalms kind of talk about God, things God has done, using just the word God. But this psalm doesn't talk about God to us, it's talking to God. About God. There's so much use of the word you. You, O Lord. You, my God. And it's this litany of praise and devotion and beautiful poetic form. Especially about knowing. The two sections out of the psalm that we read today are all about how God knows us. That knowing is so important in a relationship. Whether it's with a friend or a spouse or even a co-worker or a co-congregant in this fellowship, to know another and to be known changes the dynamic. Once you know someone's name and their interests and some of their past, it's hard to think of them as just an unrelated, detached entity. Once you get to know someone, they become even part of who you are. To understand another person's humanity makes them more human. More a real person. And the psalmist here speaks to God as one who knows us, one who knows who we are, a God who even knows our capacity for sin and failure and for deceit and disobedience, and yet loves us anyway. Remember coming across a definition of a friend many years ago that said a friend is a person who knows you and loves you anyway. And I'm sure that those of you who are in or have been in long-term relationships have learned things about your significant other that do not make your top 10 list of things you enjoy about them, or probably even the top 100 or top 1,000. But you stick with them because you know that they're so much more than that. And also because they know that you are so much more than who you sometimes are. To know and to be known. So important. That relationship that we have with God. And that might just be why the psalm is so important, to me anyway. To know that someone, God, knows me better than anyone else. Better than anyone else could possibly know. And not just better, but actually knows who I am fully. Knows the entirety of my being in a way that no one else ever possibly could. Better even than we know ourselves. And God still loves us because God made us out of love. So listen to these words from this psalm again. It begins, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. God searches for us, and not just a one-shot, one-time searching, but a continuous process. God pays attention to who we are. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. This is a God who seeks us out, who knows us, who pays attention, and who also knows what we are about to say, knows what is on our hearts. And I would hope that knowing that might give you more courage to pray, not to be afraid to pray, because God knows what's on our hearts, even if we don't say it beautifully or eloquently or with the right words. God doesn't worry about that. God knows what's on our hearts already. God knows your intent, so don't be afraid. And going on in the psalm, you hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high, I cannot attain it. Humans cannot know in the way that God knows. And then we skipped a section, verses 7 through 12, and that's a section about God's presence. And I'll read some of that. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? What a lesson that Jonah learned and got an answer to that, and the answer being nowhere. There's nowhere that you can flee from God's presence. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. Whether on earth or in heaven or in Sheol, God is there. And it's interesting because in early Hebrew thought, Sheol was the place that the dead go to. It was a place that God was not. It was thought to be the one place that God was not part of, and thought to be eternal separation from God. But that thought changed somewhere along the line so that the psalmist can say here, even in Sheol, you are there. You are present. And then coming back to what we did read, for it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows us so well because God made us. God knit us together in our mother's wombs. The psalmist kind of feels like a warm, snuggly blanket on a cold, windy, miserable day, or the antidote to that time of trial that we pray about in the Lord's Prayer. Bring me not to the time of trial, but if I do end up in that time of trial, take comfort in knowing that God is with us. Remember, God is saying, I know who you are, I made you, and I will not leave you alone. I am with you. And then it finishes, your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. I try to count them, they are more than the sand. I come to the end, I am still with you. That's love poetry. It's a beautiful love poem to God. And a gorgeous statement of belief and faith as well. Let's make a wonderful statement of faith. Or statement of belief. Precisely because it's in poetic form. It's just this metaphor in here. And it's relational. And it says, you, O God. It's not an academic treatise with proofs and footnotes. It's not a bullet list of specific doctrinal points. This is poetry. Think of your own relationships. Do you want to receive a letter from your lover that says, I love you because your pheromones are genetically linked to mine, and thus my brain reacts chemically in a way that I interpret as the love emotion? Or do you want to receive a note from them saying, I love you because you do things for me, and that makes my life much more convenient? Thank you. Or do you want your lover to write like this psalmist? I love you because you know who I am and you love me in spite of it. You know my thoughts. You finish my sentences. You complete me. You make me want to be a better person. You are with me even when we are apart. You are the light in the dark places of my life that I didn't even know existed. And then he could toss in some of that erotic stuff from Song of Solomon. It's in the Bible. Go ahead. Something like that. This is relational, personal, love poetry. And I wish that all churches' statements of faith read like this psalm and not like the bullet point lists of specific doctrinal beliefs that I see so often. Certainly, our denominations, the United Church of Christ statement of faith that's in the back of your back cover of your hymnals is relational and personal. It says, you, God, set the worlds in motion. And you, God, came to save us. You, God, were incarnate on earth. And the psalm then has there's another section right before the end of it that we didn't read. There's a little section asking God to smite the wicked and those who malign God's name and those who are bloodthirsty. And then it ends with these words that I'm going to end with. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.